Good evening and welcome to the Property and Development Committee meeting Thursday, February 27th, 2025. It is 5:31 p.m. If we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Mr. Clerk, could you please have the roll call?
Okay, Ms. Berrios Perez. Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Ms. Petanici.
Here.
Ms. Vedomsky. Okay, she's there. It's here.
Okay.
If you're there, just unmute when you're ready. But either way, you have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right, item number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of agenda. Hearing nothing, we will move on to number five. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak? If you're online, just come off of mute. State your name and address. Anyone from the public wishes to speak?
Yes, good evening. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street.
Hi, Karen.
I see that you've got a lot going on with the up at the transfer station with the solar panels. And we've asked for many, many years, what benefit is the city receiving with those solar panels up there? And I would like to have something stated to the public, what benefit this serves us and with what they're proposing to do, what more benefits will we be receiving? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak? Third and final time, anyone from the public that wishes to speak? Public portion is now closed.
Record at 5:32 p.m., Ms. Berrios Perez entered the meeting on Zoom.
Thank you. Item number six, BQ Energy, proposal to add batteries to solar panels at the transfer station, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen, alderwomen.
Hi, I'm Roger Soloway, Director of Economic Development. I believe we may have on the call Mr. Paul Caran and his team. Paul is the owner and the president of BQ Energy. Maybe Mark, you could check that he's on the line.
I am on the line, Roger.
Thank you, Paul. Let me...
Mr. Falsetti and Mr. Curran are on Zoom.
Great. So let me just perhaps answer the question from the public sector. At this point, the evidence we have in 2024 is that the net benefit to the city of the existing solar system was $45,000 in the year. It's a pretty small system, and it's owned by BQ Energy. And the proposal at this point is for BQ Energy to add solar storage batteries. These are batteries that I believe are 4 megawatts in capacity, and they will add 4 hours of generated energy that will then be sold, in fact, to the United Illuminating. The net impact on that would be an extra $25,000 a year, and that would be over 25 years. So we're talking 45 plus 25, so you've got $70,000 or so coming into the city at no cost to the city. And of course, reminding you that the existing system is actually owned by BQ Energy, so they're essentially adding this to their own installation at their cost. So the first proposal is the installation of batteries to the existing system. And there's a request for a landowner consent in order to move forward on that. Certainly answer any further questions. Just as a point of interest, you know, over 86% of our municipal revenue comes from residents, from the residential sector. So what we're trying to do in economic development is to increase the percentage of revenue coming from commercial and industrial. It's currently only 14%. That's really very low. So projects like this continue to bring in extra revenue to the city at no cost to the city.
Roger, to clarify, this is additional batteries, not replacing the existing batteries?
There is no existing batteries there, Paul, I don't think, right?
That is correct. These would be adding batteries to a system which is currently solar only.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may?
Mm-hmm. You may.
Chair. So you're proposing adding batteries to the existing solar array that is out there, right?
This
correct. Isn't. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Takes up a relatively small space. These are outdoor batteries, and they just generate power in the 4 hours after the solar impact has gone down. They just store batteries.
And what is the relationship between BQ Energy and Green Energy LLC?
Originally, there was a small developer called Green Derby LLC. Well, Green Derby LLC is the legal owner of the systems. It is owned by BQ Energy. For financing purposes, we created an LLC to own just the project in Derby.
Well, certainly before I think the city can move forward and act on this, I'm going to want to see evidence of that.
Oh, sure. We can certainly provide it.
Can I make a suggestion? This is the invoice we received from BQ Energy.
I saw that, Raj. I saw that you sent that out. But I'm not talking about looking at an invoice. I want to see evidence of the actual relationship between, what is it, Derby Green or Green Derby LLC, I'm sorry,
and
BQ Energy. Because as an old-fashioned country lawyer, when I look at the documents, I see a different entity that we're under contract with, and I see this proposal from BQ Energy. So I'd like to see the relationship, and like to see documents that I can do due diligence with to make sure that who's actually making this proposal, and is it going to be the existing entity that owns the solar panels that are presently out there, or is it going to be BQ Energy?
BQ Energy would be an owner of the battery storage. We probably will set it up so that Green Derby LLC will own the batteries as well.
I'm going to have to see some. Sure. You're going to have to provide us evidence of the way you want to structure this transaction.
Not an issue, sir. As a matter of fact, our taxes are just coming back from our accountant, and they have K-1s for distributions and all that kind of stuff. So we can certainly give you an operating agreement or a tax return copy or redacted and that kind of thing.
Okay. So I think we need to see that, though, before we move forward. I don't want to hold this up unnecessarily, but we're going to need to see the relationship. Documents that establish clearly the relationship between the two entities, particularly if the batteries are going to be owned by BQ versus being owned by Green Derby. Or is that right? Did I say it right?
It's Green Derby LLC, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So, Attorney Vitello, if I may, I make a motion to table this until next month when the documentation can be sent to you for review.
I think you can do it in a month, right, fellas?
Oh, sure. You can have it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So motion is made by Rob to table this until the next meeting.
I'll second that, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item is tabled to the next meeting. Next month. Item number 7. BQ Energy. Proposal to add more solar panels to the transfer station. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen, alderwomen.
Just a little history. In 2022, the existing Board of Alders at that time approved a expansion of the existing system, totally independent of the BQ Energy Group. And a proposal was approved, and the company involved was called Citrine Power. Citrine Power then put together a proposition to United Illuminating, but then defaulted on the submission. So we finished up just before the time in which you should have gone into UI with a default. So we were faced with finding alternatives. Installing solar on brownfield, on a landfill or a brownfield, is a very difficult proposition in comparison to rooftop or ground. You have a membrane to protect. You have much different site preparation. So it's a very limited number of people that do it. So I did some research when Citrine defaulted. We found a company in California, I found a company in Texas, and we discovered BQ Energy in New York State. So we went out, and BQ Energy then basically came back and looked at the site and said it probably could be done, and came back and made a proposition. There was no quorum at that meeting, so it didn't go further. So we're back again, essentially. This is a proposition strictly from BQ Energy for a totally expanded system. It takes up about 16% of the total available landfill site and would generate about 50,000 a year over a 25-year period. We're talking about bringing the total revenue, assuming we do the battery and the existing system, to 120,000 a year, which is about 3 million over the lifetime of the solar system. So this is a proposal requesting a land consent, landowner consent. And the process, and Paul, you might help me out here, is that we have to have the landowner consent before BQ Energy can approach UI. UI has to be in the conversation then to see what capacity they can help handle on the existing transmission system and the substation that handles the power. So now becomes an iterative kind of process before it gets submitted to UI for approval. That would be in September. So it's a process that has to be started with the Board of Alders approving a land consent.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay, any questions?
Any questions from you, Rob or Jessica?
No.
Jessica.
Okay.
No.
I might mention, yes, I did this in my former position in North Brantford. It is now generating 120,000 a year for a similar size system.
Thank you. Sarah, did you have a question?
I did, and it might be in here. Who is responsible for the disposal of the panels and or batteries once they are at end of life?
We are.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may, are you proposing, again, this is the attorney for the city of Derby, so maybe you'll understand where my questions are coming from. What kind of deal structure are you proposing? Are you proposing a lease? Are you proposing a license? I don't think you're looking to buy 16% of our landfill, but... how are you intending to utilize the property?
Sure, good question. What we've done in the past on other properties, and we do this around the country, is to either lease or license the upward facing surface of the landfill. Obviously the issue is the existing liability and care and custody of the waste that's been placed there over time. We do not assume that, but we are looking to have a use right for the upward facing surface. We have done that as both leases and licenses, and I won't get into the details of those.
Well, that's pretty, I don't know, I don't have the documents for the Green Derby deal, but if that was done by a lease, and you were going to be consistent here and try to do it by a lease, then we have under Connecticut state law, under section 8-24 of the Connecticut General Statutes, that has to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a recommendation to come back to the Board of Aldermen. You need what they call an 824 review. That's just a step. That's a legal step before a municipality can lease property. I mean, that's one thing. That's just one issue I'm throwing out there. That's why I asked what the real structure would be. So if you have like a proposed deal structure and you would like to propose a letter of intent, if you would forward that on to us so I can take a look at how you would like to go forward with this. I'd like to see that before we vote a consent for United Illuminate. And then let me just throw out one other thing here that I want to think about. I mean, you approached us because you have the existing solar array. Yes. On the landfill, I take it, correct?
We didn't
do this, in other words, through any sort of an RFP process or any sort of a procurement process. I mean, you didn't answer a procurement from the city of Derby, did you?
Could I come in on that?
Yes, please. Somebody help. I'd like to know.
So, as I mentioned, Citrine Power defaulted.
Yeah.
So we're left with a board-approved process to expand the system.
On the other one. I understand that.
And then
that I get.
And then I went into a sort of national search to find out who would do landfills. And there's not very many. That's why I contacted the group in California, the group in Texas, and BQ Energy in New York State. Those are the only three that had any interest. California said, we're not coming that far, pretty much, to maintain it. So that's how it sort of homed into where we are.
All right, well, I'm just going to put a pin in that issue, okay, for the Board of Alders. If you can just kind of hold, I'm going to reserve comment on that, but we have no procurement process. I understand how we got here. These are the folks that we're doing business with on the landfill now, and I understand that. But I just want to think about that, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see what their letter of intent looks like. And I want you guys to understand that, too. You know, we're a municipality, and, you know, municipalities have to act in a certain way. And I'd want to go back and just make sure that we're acting in accordance with the charter and the ordinances in terms of not having a procurement process. It might be one of those things where the board has the authority to waive the lack of a procurement process, but I'm not there yet. This is all preliminary, and we're at a preliminary stage here anyway, and I appreciate everything.
Yeah, we're really just looking for authorization to start the studies of what capacity we could have with United Illuminating. Did I understand, sir, that you don't have the existing lease arrangement document there?
I think it's probably here in the city. I'm telling you, as Corporation Counsel, I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it. Okay. So if you don't find it, let me know. We can send it to you.
I appreciate that.
It was distributed. But you know, there are two options. The lease is a guaranteed revenue for the whole program. If you do a power purchase agreement, which then involves United Illuminating, you have a variable unknown revenue stream. It's a function of the weather and how much you can get. This way, we get a guaranteed revenue stream with the lease.
I'd like to see what they're proposing. I'd like to see the structure of a deal and a letter of intent type of a document that we can take a look at before I make any recommendations. And I also want to look at procurement, because I take your word for it, Roger, that there are a few folks that do this, but anytime a municipality abandons any sort of formal procurement process, there, you know, we might have to do something. We might have to do a waiver, for example, at the board level.
Right.
But I'm not there yet.
There is no cost, of course, you realize that.
I've heard that before.
Paul, would you confirm what I just said?
I confirm it, but I think the attorney is Certainly right to be suspicious.
Okay. All right.
And Mr. Sawick, could you just, while your mic is on, confirm the question was asked before, but your mic was off, about regarding the disposal, who would bear the cost of disposal?
Yes, the expansion system is owned and operated by, would be owned by, operated by BQ Energy.
Yeah, the cost of disposal is a typical item included in a lease or license, as the attorney will prefer at the end.
Yeah, no, your mic was off, that's all.
Is 1 month enough to get this information?
The expansion, we have until September, I think, Paul, isn't it?
We do. Well, we have until September to put a bid in. We want to get the results back from United Illuminating before we do that. So, and that, you know, 60, 90 days is what they would require. So, you know, certainly the sooner the better. If we can get something with the standards and LOI in this case, and I'm sure the question of ownership of Green Derby is also germane to the second topic. So we'll right. We'll be sending some documents down to you, Roger, and I hope you can distribute to the attorney and the members prior to the next meeting.
Sure can. I mean, it's a quagmire up there, as you probably know. And so ideally doing it in the early season, the better.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Great.
Thank you.
Do we need to make a motion to table it till the next meeting?
Yeah. So I'll make that in the form of a motion to table this until the next meeting.
Thank you. Motion made by Rob. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jess. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that item will be tabled into the next meeting. Item number 8, Scoot and Paddle, proposal for use of O'Sullivan Island, discussion and possible recommendation to full board of aldermen, alderwomen.
Let me introduce Tina Pritchard, and Tina will give you a little background on the Scoot and Paddle operation and then what we're proposing here.
Hello, good evening. Hello. Hello. I own Scoot and Paddle, and we rent kayaks, paddleboards, scooters, and bikes, and it's seasonal. We're open Memorial Day through Labor Day, generally, a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depending on weather. And we were here at O'Sullivan Island in 2023, and I was not aware that I had to come back before the board each year. So I missed it for 2024. So I'm here this year trying to, again, launch from O'Sullivan Island.
So that answers my question where you were last year.
Yeah, that was my question too.
Yeah. It was my fault. I did not realize it's treated differently than like a business. It's a vendor. So we would have to come back before the board every year. So I hear you had some questions for me.
What is your proposal for this? Because last time it was, certainly, I think it was $1 a month lease. Right. So what would you propose going forward?
A free ride for you. Okay. Go ahead.
So we were thinking $200 a month for the 3 to 4 months that we would be here.
One of the kind of ancillary benefits that we noticed in 2023 is that Tina recorded about 2,500 visitors to Scoot and Paddle in that summer period. And, they're renting bikes, they're renting kayaks or paddle boards, going up both rivers, and typically then coming to either Bad Sons or Twisted Vine. I mean, these are bringing visitors who then help local businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's part of a new business for the city.
I hate to sound like a lawyer, but it's sort of an occupational hazard. I haven't seen any of the prior documentation for 2023 and how the deal was structured. And maybe Roger, if you know, or if anyone here knows, or when it was $1 at the time, now you're proposing $200. Was it a lease or a license agreement? Is there a prior agreement you recall actually seeing between the entities, between the city and Scoot and Paddle?
It was pretty informal.
It was pretty. That's what I was okay. afraid of.
I mean, okay.
I was guessing.
Was insurance.
Yeah,
it was the city.
It was like that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely
right.
Under my insurance.
Insurance and
That was
a dollar a month was going to be how much do we time to spend.
We're going to have to.
I know.
If you want to do this, we should at least draw up some sort of formal document and require insurance. And
there was a lease.
Stuff like that.
There was a lease.
There was a lease.
It was a short
lease. I remember that.
You think so?
Yeah, there definitely was.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get that to you.
If you could, that would be great.
Right.
And I just did the same insurance requirements that Milford asked for. So it was pretty
Did helpful. You sign a document in Milford?
Yes. Well, it's not a city. I'm not.
It's not city.
I am on city property, but I didn't actually have to do any of this. It was because I also have a business, like a brick and mortar store there.
In Milford?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
whereabouts?
I have a
Where?
In near Walnut Beach on the corner of Naugatuck and Broadway.
Yeah.
If you drive along I-95, the signs say, "Welcome to Milford, Scoot and Paddle are here."
On the highway, yeah.
So it's a tourist attraction. We want to do the same thing. Just very quickly, what happens is that you rent or Tina rents like 20-foot shipping containers, and they are just resting on the ground, and they use them to store the bikes at night and the kayaks at night. So that they're just passive storage.
If you can just send me the agreement, or if there was an agreement from before, if there wasn't, we'll try to drop something if that's the pleasure of the board.
Right. I mean, the issue partly in defense of Tina is that she has to decide whether to invest in more inventory or not.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, so the timing is difficult, as you understand.
The requirements that are listed, these are requirements that you are providing in this document, staging areas, clear signage along the route. This is all stuff that you were providing.
At what point do you need to order inventory?
The sooner the better, but I have some to get started if I don't order it in time. But it's the marketing piece, like starting to get the word out is the most important so that people know we're here again and can, you know, just really pushing the marketing piece.
Okay.
And planning group events. We do a lot of group events. So putting that out there and getting people on board, ready to come.
Is something you think we could table to push to the full board?
And but just get me the documents and let's see what they look like, and then we'll try to deal with it at the full board.
What about any issues with like the grounds there or the water? Is there any testing that's done? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that would fall under you, but like testing by the, what's the right group? But just to make sure that it's safe for, you know, users to be in and.
There was two things done. One done by the U.S. Department of Health.
Okay.
This is a 23-page study, very extensive study. And I've got copies of it. And if you wish, I'll just read the conclusions.
What year was this?
2015.
Oh,
study. And the
okay.
One done in 2023. One done in 2023 as well.
Okay.
So the Department of Health evaluated cell data from the Osamas Island to determine whether concentrations of contaminants pose a risk to people.
A risk to people who come into direct contact with surface soil on the site. Exposures current and past to contaminants in surface soil below ground surface are unlikely to harm people's health because exposure doses are not high enough to cause harmful health effects or cancer risks that are not elevated. We assume that contaminant concentrations in the 1 to 0 foot depth interval are representative of true surface soils. Exposures current and past are unlikely to harm people's health. There is no evidence that digging at the site and the recreational activities occurring would be unlikely to disturb deep soils. Therefore, under current site use and site conditions, there is no expected exposure to contaminants present in the soils.
There's also a
a more current report from June of 2023 in your pack.
And there's also you have a
thank you
environmental study from the Valley Council of Governments from September, dated September 3rd, 2010. And then the significant environmental hazardous status follow-up of O'Sullivan's Island, that's dated July 31st, 2017, along with the significant environmental hazard report.
Right.
From prior involvement with, and you have the Teigenbahn one from 2023.
Okay.
And I encourage everybody on the committee to read all of it to be sufficiently informed and to be sure that the area that anybody's talking about is at the river's edge. The river's edge is the issue that's where this most of the activity is done. So just
the launching system. What Tina is looking at is changing the way in which they operated in 23 to having a launch ramp. So it goes directly from the soil onto the ramp, onto the kayak or onto the paddleboard. So there's no need to actually interface with the water's edge. Is that correct?
Yep. Okay. Ideally. Any other questions?
No. So rather than table this for another month, we'll table it for 2 weeks to go to the full board. So otherwise, it would be 6 weeks to the full board. So we'll go. I'll make a motion to move this to the full board pending submission to Attorney Petrilla and review.
Motion made by Rob. Is there a second?
Second, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Jess. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That will be on the agenda at the full board meeting, as long as Attorney Petrilla gets all of the information to review.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have it.
Do you have the 2023?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Item number 9. Joseph Salome, proposal to use Caroline Street Belgian block cobblestones, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen, alderwomen.
So as I outlined in the front, Mr. Salome is asking to, he wants to put a little road, make a little road out of these cobblestones that would be about 2,698 square feet. And he's got some of the original tracks that these trolleys ran on in Derby. And he wants to have either an authentic, he wants to buy an authentic trolley, or to have a replica trolley installed to the right of his front, the front of his building and his property. And he thought that the nice tie-in to the trolley would be the cobblestones that were on Caroline Street that were actually used back in the day for streeting. I thought this would be done in color. I apologize. The circle over here is the lesser amount. It's about 650 square feet. It will circle his flagpole. And here was in blue. And this is the corner where he plans to put the trolley and the blocks. Is Mr. Salem on the phone? On Zoom, Mark? Okay. Any questions?
Well, we had a proposal a few months ago to to do something over on the Derby Shelton Bridge side. Is there going to be enough cobblestones if we approve both?
Yes, there are a lot of cobblestones, and they're all secured.
That's right.
At the at DPW. The difference between the two projects is that Mr. Walsh wanted to use them, and he wanted to make a walkway. And the concern was that when the blocks are wet, they can be slick. So we're trying very hard to come up with a way to honor the tub wheels and to use them without making anybody walk on them. You know, embed them in, you know, make a square around the base of them with concrete, and then just put them, lay them in. Mr. Salem did say whatever we decided to do, he would have his professional masons do, because DPW was very clear that they're not proficient in laying this kind of block, and they wouldn't be comfortable doing that at the tub wheels. So it's a little bit different. There's no intent for people to walk on them, to enter the trolley. I'm hoping that he gets a non-authentic trolley where doors open, or somehow the doors are secured.
You know, similar to the previous agreement that we said that we would go to the full board once there's a presentation, like a formal presentation. And I think, you know, once there's a solid plan, and I think it's ideal to keep cobblestones downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if there are enough for two locations, I don't see why not. I mean, I'm one of nine, so.
Of course.
Yeah, I would love to see them in multiple locations on that south side. I'm confused about the flagpole. Great. The location of the other cobblestones, it looks right at that entrance to Route 8, and it's already tight there. No, is it not?
If you stand across from Mr. Salem's building and you look at the front, it's that piece of property off to the right. It's a very small piece of property. There's no room on the left where the entrance to Route 8 is.
Yeah.
So this is the property. If you are facing from across the street, it would be on your right. Flagpole is farther down on the left.
No,
that's Route 8. On which corner? It's not on Route 8. The curve to Route 8 is here. There is absolutely no room over there at all. Most of the building is there.
This is on Main Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not on Main Street. It's going to be set off.
Yeah, I guess I'm like, it's everything. The building is so close to Main Street. I'll have to go like take a look.
Or we'll see if we can get him to provide us with a better.
Are you guys seeing it?
That's what it looks like to me.
Here, if I could just add, there's 15 feet between the sidewalk and the building at this point. On Main Street.
I just have to take a look.
And this is
It's an unusual shape. I'll go back and represent. If I can get him to give me a clearer drawing.
Yeah, with clearer measurement. I mean, it wouldn't intrude with the sidewalk, I'm assuming.
No.
I guess my question is still about the safety. So I think I'd want to see a better design. I think with the actual layout and the dimensions, maybe, and maybe even, I don't know, photograph would be easier.
Okay.
Linda, do we know at what stage he's looking to do this? I don't know how far along he is on the building.
They're going to be opening. They're hoping to open in April. So I think, you know, there's time and it doesn't have to be done at the opening. It's just something that he wanted to do to tie in the name, the Trolley Point, mm-hmm. and to use, you know, and honor the heritage of the city.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
I think he's trying to get the construction out of the way before it opens.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Do you want to come back to a future meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion or no?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to table this till the next meeting.
Okay. Motion made by Rob. Is there a second? I'll second. Second by Amy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The item is tabled. Item number 10. Adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you. Made by motion made by Rob. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Second made by Jess. We will adjourn at 6:11 p.m. Thank you, everyone.